In this episode of the Deming Institute podcast, Stephen Heydrich is our guest. Stephen is president of New York Label and began his quality journey in 1993. Stephen will talk about his organization's Deming journey and some of the keys to starting one.
Today we have Stephen Heydrich as a guest. Stephen is president of New York Label. He will be speaking at the Deming Institute Fall Conference about the Deming philosophy in a speech titled, Deming is It. Thank you for being on our show today, Stephen.
Hi, Tripp. How are you?
Great. Okay. First question I have for you. What exactly does New York Label do?
Essentially, you would know us as labels that go on vitamins or labels that go on shampoos or food products in your supermarket. And similarly, the small folding cartons that you might get an aspirin bottle in or a cosmetic product in, more on the small side, not on the larger side for the folding cartons.
Oh, okay. Okay, very good. So can you give us a little history of New York Label? Just by the look of your logo, it looks like you guys have been around for a while.
Yes, we have a very rich history, and it began in 1878, over 130 years ago, with a gentleman named Herman Hugg, who became an importer-exporter of folding cartons. He transitioned into the pharmacy business in labels, which was the main, there was no Walmarts around back then. And he then, in 1930, sold it to my grandfather in the Great Depression. I joined the firm in 1984. My cousins joined it in 82. And 1996, we decided it had to be one family and two generations as opposed to two families and two generations. And we bought out the interests of my uncle and my cousins.
Okay.
And we continued to specialize in the labels until 2007, when we felt people wanted a single source supplier for labels and folding cartons, and we have evolved into more of a single source vendor today.
Okay, and so when did you first come across Dr. Deming's philosophy?
I came across Dr. Deming's philosophy, unfortunately, in the year of his death in 1993, coincidentally, by my largest customer at the time, a hosiery company that has since moved. But at the time, in 1993, they hit all their vendors with a 30-page memo that essentially said, we understand the importance of quality. We need you to understand the importance of quality. We need you to improve your quality with us so we can improve our operation and our customer experience. And essentially, I just started reading everything I could with the headline of quality. I kept coming across Dr. Deming's name, and then I came across one of his books, his main book, Out of the Crisis. And as I was reading it, every page, I felt like you could insert our name when he said a manufacturing company and the crises you have and the problems that plague you and the constant frustration. And I knew I was in a crisis, and I knew that after reading his book, quality was the way out.
Okay. And so as you're kind of getting this knowledge of Dr. Deming and his work, can you kind of take me through, and I'm sure there's different things over periods of time, but what were the big aha moments for you that you basically sat there and said, wow, that's not the way we do things, and not only that, but not the way I've been taught to do things, you know, in our education system or elsewhere?
Yes, a lot of his thinking, which is dead on, is very different than the management by objective as well as other forms of business thinking in today's world. And it became very clear to me that I was taught a lot of incorrect theories, and a lot of my assumptions on business were wrong. So one of the things Dr. Deming greatly stresses, not recommends, but stresses, is to have an outsider come in to help guide you through the transformation process. He has so many major principles that I immediately believed in. For example, performance appraisals. I knew performance appraisals were useless and a tremendous amount of time, a tremendous waste of time, and his theory of systems thinking really showed me that it is less about the person and more about the leadership, the system they're working in, the tools you give them, and the processes. When I got rid of that, I freed up a bunch of time. And, you know, in today's world, look at how many people still believe in performance appraisals that are really not doing anyone any good. That was one of my early aha moments.
Let me ask you just one other thing about that. Your employees, how did they react to those things being taken away? I mean, sometimes when you take things like away like that, they'll basically sit there and say, geez, you know, at least I had some feedback. Now I don't really get anything. You know.
Well, that's one key component of taking the performance appraisal away. You can't stop talking to them. You can't stop involving them in the process because they are an essential ingredient into improving the systems. And I think that they get it. Most workers get that the performance appraisals are a waste of time, very subjective. Sitting down with someone once or twice or three times a year while simultaneously not giving them the tools they need, not listening to their ideas to improve the production line, not listening to the ideas of waste. They would much rather have a dialogue where everyone was working towards improving the systems and there was less emphasis on their behaviors once a year and for 1 hour of time. Mm-hmm. I think most workers recognize that the performance appraisal system is inherently broken. And no matter if you do 360 interviews or up and down and sideways meetings, the worker is held hostage to the system, and the system is controlled by the leadership, by the management, and the more everyone can get involved in working together on improving the system, the better off everyone is.
You were getting ready to say something else about another aha moment that you had.
Aha moment came early on when we understood that the Deming philosophy and the systems thinking had us really analyze where our money was made and lost, and that was in the press room. And we would have a system where the pressman would be mixing inks while the press was standing idle and simultaneously wasting stock. And one of our first big quality improvements to the system was creating an ink lab where all the ink was mixed with the proper tools, with the proper science behind it to reduce the variation. So when the ink did get to the pressman would have more efficient use of his time, better press production, and most importantly, less stock waste. And I think that really showed us that with minor adjustments in the systems, which really came from common sense, we were able to achieve major improvements in productivity and quality. And that then flies right to the Deming principle where when you improve quality, you reduce waste. When you reduce waste, you increase production. The Deming chain reaction is an amazing theory that is not well known in business, but it should be.
Okay, very good. Are there other things you can share with us about your journey? What other types of things have you seen change? You did this thing with the performance appraisal, this productivity improvement thing that you got going on. Has this thing continued to mature as you've gone through it? Because you've been working on this now for quite a number of years now.
It's been a long time. I think you go in stages where you learn a lot, then you flatten out, you learn a lot, you flatten out. And when we flattened out in 2006, I took my head of prep and I made him head of quality. And his first comment to me was, I need training. And we fortunately came across the Deming 2.5-day seminar run by Kelly Allen. And he came back from there and his first words were, I know we can't afford him, but as an outside consultant, Kelly will guide us to where we need to go because we know we have problems. We know we still are in crisis. We know the pricing is coming down. Competition is up. Clients demand more. And we hired Kelly, and he was able to get us a much deeper understanding of not just the basics and the low-hanging fruit and the easy stuff like getting rid of performance appraisals, but he was really able to transform our understanding of the Deming principles and not just the cultural things of driving out fear and working together and eliminating the barriers. And a great story to understand another aha moment was in giving workers the tools they need. A consultant related a story where he went to a plant, met with the owner, and the owner essentially was blaming the workers for the problems and the crises and the lack of production and lack of profits. And the consultant said, "Can I go down to your shop floor and talk to your people?" He said, "Absolutely." Went down there, spoke to a gentleman, a lot of years on the job, and he said, "You know, I'm a quality consultant. I'd like to help improve your operation." And the guy said, "You know, I really don't have time. I've talked to people before who want to improve things. No one listens to me." The consultant says, "I promise to listen to you." He said, "Okay, then get me another wrench." The quality consultant blurted out, "You have a wrench." And the gentleman on the line, the foreman, said, "That's what everyone says. That's why I don't want to talk to anybody." And he said, "You know, the quality consultant came back. I know. I apologize. You're right. I should have listened to you. I'm going to go get you another wrench." Goes to the owner of the firm. Owner of the firm said, "He's been asking for a wrench. He has a great wrench. If he wants to buy a new wrench, he can." Quality consultant decides to go out and buy the wrench himself, gives it to the gentleman, and all of a sudden, he's working twice as fast with a wrench in either hand, and he'd been asking for this for years, but never received it. And it's amazing. Workers want to work. They want to do a great job. They want to be part of something special, and it's management that messes things up.
Yeah, that's a great story. Very good.
Very simple. Very simple concept. But there's all this mistrust and lack of communication in most instances between workers and management, and it really does nothing to improve the quality, nothing to make your client brag about your product and services. And it's very frustrating to live in a world where you see so many union management problems, so many quality issues. The General Motors is most in the papers with the death due to the faulty ignition switch. And it's very, very frustrating.
So if I was a worker in New York Label, what would their perspective be of what they've seen, let's say, over the last 10 years or so?
As I said, the workers get it. They understand that when you improve quality, you are able to lower costs and improve productivity, and they want to have a great day at work. And I'm not saying we have solved anywhere near all our problems. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they don't leave work frustrated at times, but they do appreciate the environment they work in. They do appreciate our continuous quest for improving quality. And I think at the end of the day, when you have everybody on board with that mission, with that vision, it really does make a difference, and I think they appreciate it. And it is shown in the fact that we have very minimal turnover, and our management team has been together on average for 20 years.
Wow, that's impressive in and of itself to keep management around that long, especially as interchangeable as it's become become.
Yes, and it's very difficult to pinpoint the loss in turnover, the soft costs in training someone for 10 years and then leaving, and the benefit of having a team working together for that long. It really is special.
Very good. Let's talk a little bigger picture here for a moment. Do you see Dr. Deming's philosophy is still valid in today's world? I mean, everybody's got, you know, some new improvement type of thing going on. There's always some new program of change that is entering into, whether it's manufacturing or service or something else. Can you talk a little bit about what your perspective is on that?
I think the Deming management method is more relevant today when you see all the problems in business. And one of my joys with Deming in the 90s and to today, in the 80s I read every business book possible. And every new theory, every new business management method of the moment was merely to sell books. And the Deming philosophy that I've been associated with and studied for the last 20 years, I've never wavered from it. I've never said it's not going to work. I've never said I got to find something else. And just the fact that I'm not looking for something new and different is a testament to it, because it is so deep, it is so meaningful, and it really touches on every aspect of business. And it is time-tested, it's proven it works, but it's not easy. and it requires a tremendous commitment from management, and it requires tremendous fortitude to go against the grain and to get people who have different old school ways of thinking, get them on board. And we're at the point now where everybody's on board. However, it does require continuous improvement and continuous learning, and it's not a short-term fix. And part of our society's problem, we're looking for short-term fixes. Mm-hmm. And you can acquire a company, you can divest a company, and it might make the quarterly statements look great, but you're not building a foundation with which to really grow. And you can see that. There's not many internally grown, organically grown companies these days. Most companies are grown through acquisition.
And, right. Yeah, mergers and acquisitions, the financial stuff, right?
The financial reengineering, yeah, and financial stuff that's not really building a foundation and helping improve society, which is, I think, another thing Deming touches on. If we really had more of a societal big picture thinking, we wouldn't be closing all these stores and ruining towns. We'd be understanding what it would take to build up towns and pay people a fair wage and give them proper health care, etc.
Okay. What advice might you have for an executive, owner, change agent, or CEO in taking practical steps to adopt the Deming philosophy?
That's a great question, Tripp. I would first try to get the owner of the company on board, because having the leadership buy-in is essential to the Deming success in changing the management methods. And what I would do, and Deming suggests you do, is bring in an outsider, an outside consultant, maybe even through the Deming Institute, because it's essential that you have a knowledgeable, trained, educated person on your side, because it is impossible to not know what you don't know. It oftentimes is impossible to see where your organization needs help, and an outside consultant is going to help you organize the process so you can move towards Deming, and there's always a lot of low-hanging fruit. So that's the first thing I would do. The second thing I would do is you have to really have internal people on board and gaining knowledge. And while I started at 93, you go in steps and stages and you go backwards and forwards. And it's a very exciting time because you see immediately the benefits of implementing a lot of the Deming theories. And a lot of people, in my experience, got on board very quickly. And I think that it's a process, it's a journey, but it's exciting and it's challenging. And in these competitive times, you really need that. So one final thing, I would do a lot of reading, because there's a lot of books on Deming, a lot of books out there. And the more you can have a sense of what's going on, the better you can engage with a consultant to really make the improvement happen relatively quickly.
Okay, and so there's this self-learning component that you really need to be able to go through if you're going to adopt this, whether you're a change agent or a executive or an owner of a company. Is that kind of the message you're getting across? This isn't just something you're going to lay in the lap of a consultant and say, okay, go do your thing and write me up a plan.
No, you're absolutely right. The consultant is going to guide you along and try to understand what I call low-hanging fruit, because you can make a lot of quick advances and get a lot of people on board, because it's such a powerful program of improvement. And what I noticed was the workers, I may have mentioned this, the workers buy in very quickly. Mm-hmm. They want the tools. They want the training. They want the leadership. They understand that they are often powerless in improvement. And it is about the systems and variation. And it's just such a... The business owner might be trying some crazy business theory of the day or some management method they learned 20 or 30 years ago, and the Deming program is so all-encompassing to treat your organization as a system, and it does fly directly in the face of some guidelines that people are using today, for example, the performance appraisal that we spoke about. But at the end of the day, the consultant will guide you. You have to do your own learning And at the same time, you understand your business better than your consultant, but they're going to understand Deming better. And the combination of the two for us was very powerful. And we embrace it every day. We love the Deming theories. We love the concepts. We see the benefits. We see the improvement. We see the waste going down, the productivity go up when you improve quality. And it's fabulous. And I stopped reading. It was funny. I stopped reading business books after I found out about Deming in 93 because I realized he has, I don't want to say he has all the answers, but his theories cover everything. And it was always one book 1 year, one book the next year, this management fad, this management theory. And then you start reading Deming and you say to yourself, I don't need to read anything else. I don't need to do anything else except continually learn his theories and his analysis of how business should be run. And it's been quite a journey.
Very good. That's some great practical advice, Stephen. I appreciate you sharing that. So we've talked about quite a few things during the course of recording this particular episode. We talked about New York Label, what you do, the history, your awareness of Dr. Deming's philosophy and its application, what it's been like for a worker, the relevance of Dr. Deming's philosophy today. Is there anything else that maybe I didn't cover that you'd like to share with some of the listeners?
Sure, a couple final notes. I think the Deming chain reaction is something that is very easy to understand and very applicable in everyone's business in terms of improving quality and reducing waste and lowering costs and passing those savings on to the customer and creating jobs, which is very important in our society. At the second comment I would make that was very powerful for me in understanding Deming was Deming even stressed the power of improved quality and lower pricing for getting customers to brag about you. And it's a very interesting concept, and you don't see it much. You don't see many customers bragging about their vendors. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, if you have everyone in your organization working towards that, and you're going to get it with improved quality, great service, lower prices, fast delivery, you're going to have a very effective organization. And lastly, my final comment was I believe the Deming principles in terms of improving are great on a personal level because I think we often forget as individuals we can improve whether it is in business or just in your personal life, whether it's health, family, friends, relationships, et cetera. And I think that the Deming theory of continual improvement is a nice way to go about living your life.
Very good. There's some very practical things in there that you've added in. Well, Stephen, thank you for being our guest and sharing your Deming journey with us.
Thank you, Tripp. It's been quite a journey, and I appreciate your time also.
Very good. Thanks.
Hi, this is Tripp Babbitt with some information about the Deming Institute Fall Conference. The conference will be held October 17th through the 19th, with a pre-conference on education October 16th and 17th. The pre-conference and conference will be held at the Airtel Plaza Hotel in Van Nuys, California. To learn more, go to the www.deming.org website.